to Acts chapter number 2. We're going to ask you to hang tight. Don't leave service until we go over a few announcements. Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 1. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to say yes, Lord. Speak to us. Your servant's ready to hear. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost, watch, was come.
You're watching.
It doesn't say when the day of Pentecost had come. It said when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. I pray the Spirit would fall on each of us today. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'm going to preach this morning when the day was fully come. When the day was fully come. Place your Bibles down. Lift your voices unto Him right now. In the name of Jesus, we seek after Your will. We seek after Your desire. We seek after Your plan. Your hand, God, has set a time and a moment for us to receive what You always wanted, to fill us, God, as the temple, Lord Jesus, to allow us to be in communion with You, God. And through that, some mighty things happen. Through Your Spirit engaging us, oh God, and through Your Spirit filling us, oh God. And there are some things, oh God, that we won't have room to do, won't have room a part of, won't have to suffer in anymore, because when You truly move inside of our lives, the devil has to flee, the enemy has to flee, darkness has to flee, the light of Your Spirit get a hold of every one of us, oh God. Take us further, Lord. Take us deeper, Lord. Take us into a place we cannot deny an experience with You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God, praise God. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. We appreciate Your touch, oh God. You know, people ask me what you do, or they hear my pastor, and the first question they normally ask is, what denomination are you? We didn't take offering yet, I don't think. No. Did we? You guys give yet? No, leave that plate up there. Hallelujah. Don't leave. Hallelujah until you get there. What denomination are you, they ask? I said, well, I am a faith and deliverance preacher and a Christian that preaches the word of God. But since I know what you mean by that question, I'll give in, and I'm Pentecostal, if you must know my denomination. And the response is usually, oh, you speak in tongues and dance and shout and run the aisles. And that is what a person who has not experienced Pentecost normally would say. It's not that they are incorrect or not correct in saying that, because we do those things. But the way they say it is with such limited understanding of what Pentecost really is. Pentecost is not just a term to define those that make a lot of noise or are exuberant in their worship style, because honestly, in many Pentecostal denominational churches, they no longer shout with the voice of triumph. They no longer clap their hands, shout hallelujah, run and dance. When's the last time you ran and danced in the aisle? So just because my label is Pentecostal doesn't mean I fit the cliche of what somebody would say a Pentecostal is. Because there are many that have not danced like David has danced. And there are many that have not had an enthusiastic passion for the things of God. There are many in churches that no longer have a passion to seek the face of God and seek his will and tarry and cry and quote unquote be a holy roller. I don't know if anybody is laid on the ground and rolled up and down these aisles. And so do not think that Pentecostal is only the way we worship. Because many Pentecostals don't worship that way anymore. If we judge our worship style by our denomination, then a lot of Pentecostal troubles would be in trouble. Just a label. True worship is not based necessarily on what you put in front of the church sign. True worship comes from an internal understanding on who God is to you. And I make sure you understand, I didn't say what God has done for you, because sometimes God does not move when you want him to move, and sometimes God does not answer the prayer you want him to answer. And so if I base my relationship on what I think God should do or not do, then that might limit some of my praise. But when I move beyond that shallow place of praise and I go to a place of worship and say, God, I don't worship you because what you have done for me, but I worship you for who you are. You are absolutely the lover of my soul. You are absolutely the one that created the heaven and the earth. You are the one that gives me life and breath. In fact, that's why I have to start off by a praise, because if there is a breath in my body, he says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. So I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If you don't wake up on Sunday morning with that mentality, check your spirits, gauge where you are in your walk with God. But I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And when I go from praise and I go into worship, it goes to a deeper place of knowing what I am without him. What am I without God? What am I without his hand upon me? Oh, what am I if I don't have him moving inside of me? And so I look at David when he began to dance to a place, the Bible says his clothes begin to fall off because he danced so exuberantly. Some would say he's Pentecostal, but I don't think Pentecost even happened in that context yet. Why I find David worshiping in that mentality and worshiping in that mindset, because he understood something was lost. He understood that the presence of the glory of God was no longer with the children of Israel, and he wanted to get it back. And finally it got to a place that the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the very glory and the presence of God, was returned back to the nation of Israel. He said, that's reason to praise, and that's reason to go into a crazy type of worship. What was he saying is what I've been saying here for a while, is that when we begin to understand that it's all about the presence of God and being in the presence of God, it makes all the difference. So when I come into the four walls of this building, I don't care what labels on the outside, all I care
care about is that Jesus is here. And if Jesus is here, I've got to worship him. If Jesus is here, I got to open up my mouth and say, you are my everything. You are the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. You are my everything. My El Shaddai, my Prince of Peace, my Jehovah Jireh Rapha, Tzidkenu, he's everything I need. And I know when I come in this room, I bow down and say, Lord, I worship you. I am unworthy, but you allowed me as a person unworthy to get in your presence. And that's the reason why David danced. I don't deserve your presence, but yet your presence is here. I don't deserve to feel your glory, but yet your glory is here. God forbid I don't worship you.
It is the glory that releases us to worship. Praise is connected to having the presence of God in your midst. I don't know about some people, but if the word says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Oh, that word means laudation. That means loudness. Then I'm going. If it means he lives and inhabits the praises of his people, then I am going to be loud. Then I am going to shout hallelujah. And will anybody join with me and shout hallelujah? Is there anybody that needs the presence of God? Is there anybody that is tired of a life without his presence? Then it is okay to shout. It's okay to clap your hands. It's okay to lift your voice. It's okay to run the aisles. It's okay to jump. It's okay to shout. Why are you doing it? You need the glory of God to fill your life. You need the glory of God to overshadow you. I got to make sure he knows he's welcome. I said it before, but I go places and I feel awkward. I feel out of place. Because I thought you wanted me there. But when I got there, you ignored me. When I got there, you didn't really greet me. You didn't really let me know that I was welcome there. So when you come to the house of God, God says, I'll show up. And when we get here, he has to know he's welcome here. God, you're welcome to move in this house. God, you're welcome to move on my spirit. How does he know he's welcome? By you vocalizing it to him. Come on, Jesus, rest in this. Come on, say it. I want you to engage. Come on, Jesus, rest in this house. Come on, Jesus, heal somebody who's sick. Come on, Jesus, give light to somebody who's dried up at the roots, whose face are all. Come on, Jesus, we say you're welcome in this house. And I know one thing, that when the Israelites faced a battle, and right now in this hour, we are absolutely facing spiritual battles. Is anybody battling in the house of God today? Wrestling with issues and wrestling with pain and wrestling with emotions and wrestling with the roller coaster rides, wrestling with our family, wrestling with our kids, wrestling with our spouses, wrestling with our health, wrestling with our jobs, wrestling with our schedules, wrestling to try to keep everything afloat, wrestling going on, battles all around me. I found in the Word of God that I know I saw the people of God. Maybe outnumbered. Maybe on the opposite side of the wager, so to speak. Maybe did not have all the tools, all the equipment, all the resources in order to naturally win over battles. And many of our frustrations right now is that you look at what you've been going through and you look at what you've been dealing with and you say, I know, I see already, I don't have the resources in order to win this battle. But can I tell you, it's not over yet, even though you in of yourself don't have the capability to win by yourself, because we all know we are not able to do it by ourselves. But the good news is that when I found the Israelites did not have the battle to win by themselves,
themselves, they understood that the battle's not mine, it's the Lord. And so when I don't have the capability myself, is anybody preaching with me right now? When I don't have the resources, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy, and nor sometimes I even have the will. But you know what I will do? I will begin to praise ye the Lord. I don't have the right sword, I don't have the right shield, I don't have the right training, I don't have the right mindset, but I got a clap in my hands, I got a hallelujah in my voice. And if you can do anything in the middle of your battle, learn how to praise God. You say, I look like I'm surrounded, but that's why we sing the song, this is how I fight my battles. I don't know how you fight your battle, but I have to fight with my praise. I can't fight with my mind. My mind's going crazy. I can't fight with my emotions. My emotions are all over the place. I can't fight the way you think I should fight. I don't have those abilities. But what I can do, I got a voice, and I can say, victory shall be mine. I can say, I can live and not die. I can say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be in my mouth. I can win over my battle. You can win over your battle. What would happen every time the enemy came in like a flood? You say, God forbid, someone turn on some music. We are going to dance and praise the Lord. Jaden, are you awake right now? Can you take my hand for a little bit? I know you're tired, but just come on and dance with me and just jump with me for a little while. Oh, come on. Sometimes you might have somebody that don't have the strength to do it. They might be a little bit tired, but we go do it anyway. We're going to shout anyway, and we're going to praise God anyway, and we might look silly, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes you got to look silly in order for God's will to be done. How silly did the Israelites look looking at a 12-foot wall deep, and yet the army was above them, but they gave a shout. Is there anybody that seemed like you're defeated? Why don't you give a shout of victory right now? Why don't you shout like God will make a way. Shout, 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 hallelujah. This is how I fight my battle. I will not shut my mouth. I will shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Atabahaya bahataya. You are releasing God when you praise. You are releasing God when you worship. You are giving God permission to work. Atanahaya, Ekete Atara, Yatala Mahaya, Ekere Asata, Yatala Mahaya. Yeah, shout! 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 What are we doing? What are we doing? We are exercising our faith. I can't do it by myself. Sometimes I gotta just shout. I got an issue. I got a problem. I have a barrier. I have a wall. I have a circumstance I can't fix by myself. So I'll shout. And when the joy begins to shift, and when the joy begins to happen, because many times maybe only one person was able to do it, but there's not one time in the Word of God where someone like David, someone like Gideon, someone like Jephthah, someone like all through the Old Testament would step up and say, everybody might not join in, but if I can be the first one, I don't read one time in the Word of God that those that at first were fearful when they saw the enemy come down did not join in battle. So maybe you feel like you cannot be the first one. That's all right. When someone breaks through for you, go ahead and follow suit, because victory will be yours as well. You might not have the same energy as someone else, but when they give forth their energy, go right in behind and give your blessing as well. God's presence is what we're looking for. I got to win in battles I always would lose in before. When God's presence shows up, that means defeating things that always defeated me before. I always reacted this way, but when I begin to praise, I don't react the same way anymore. I don't go in depression anymore. I don't go to food binges anymore. I don't go to pornography anymore. I don't go to drugs and alcohol anymore. I don't go to sex anymore. I don't go to nicotine anymore. I go to God in praise, and I shout, and I got victory. I got victory. I got victory. Because the presence of God comes in the middle of my despair. The Bible says, and at midnight, after Paul and Silas were in stocks and chains and in the house right now, not physically, not naturally, but emotionally and mentally, you are in stocks and chains. All you see is despair. All you see is darkness. All you see is the negative things around you. But sometimes in that place, you got to recognize I have a decision I can make. And in the middle of my stocks and bonds, how about we sing unto the Lord? And as they begin to sing and worship God, the Bible says there was an earthquake. Hear me right now. I'm a not symptom preacher. I am a root discovering preacher. We manifest our emotions and the symptoms that we're dealing with in various ways. But there's a root cause of why you keep going through what you're dealing with. And so the Lord is saying, when you learn how to praise, and pastor's not talking about a Pentecost Sunday praise when the message is just right on. I'm talking about when everything's messed up, songs messed up, life messed up, everything's busted up, messed up, nothing's going good for you. That's the time you got to learn how to praise. Please hear what I'm saying. Pastor's trying to help you. Sometime we got to praise God in the midnight hours. I got to praise God when everything is busted and disgusted. But when I praise him at that time, that's when the root issue will be taken care of. Because God says, you're taking your eyes off the problem. I can sit there all day long and focus in on all the things that are going wrong. And that's my problem. A, B, C is wrong. But how about I get my eyes off of A, B, and C, and I say, Lord, you're able. I don't speak to the problem, I speak to the solution. And the solution says, worship and praise me. So that's what I'm going to do. And when he responds, me respond to what he told me to do, all of a sudden, the foundations of what I've been dealing with have been broken. Some of you have some foundational issues, some generational issues. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You're doing the same thing your daddy did, your mama did. You're going around that same cycle. But today we go break some stuff in the... Yeah. Pastor, are you going to get deep? No. I hope I'm where everybody is. I'm not preaching deep. I'm saying the very foundations of what you're dealing with can be delivered through your praise. I hope you hear what I'm saying right now. You have the power to find freedom right now. You have the power to release your joy right now. You have the power to break chains right now. All you got to do is praise. All you got to do is praise.
So where did Pentecost come from? Praise? Nope. Did that before we got here. Happened in Acts 2. Before Acts 2 came, Acts 1 came. And there was a promise. Jesus said, go wait. Go tarry. Go spend some time interceding. Go spend some time waiting on me to move. And they went to the upper room. And we find, the scriptures say, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, which means if it had not yet fully come, that means there must have been some partial things that have happened. God forbid we stop at partial deliverance, partial breakthroughs. Where it starts to feel good and we say, okay, I have enough. No. Don't you wait for a partial blessing today. Get all that you can when God shows up. Get everything. You don't know when the next moment will be. There has to be something inside of you that responds to what Jesus said on that last day. If any man hunger and thirst. So partially fulfilled. Please stay with me. Pentecost means 50. That is a significant number in the context because the Lord commanded a feast to take place 50 days after the Passover. The Passover was strategically set up and dated by God of all glory because he was setting up Old Testament dates and types and shadows. The Passover was when the death angel went through all Egypt to kill all the firstborn. Except those that had sacrificed an innocent lamb. Except those that put the blood upon the sides and the doorposts of their house. And the death angel came by and said, I cannot touch this house because there was something innocent shed over this house. There's a covering over this house. And so I cannot touch this house. And we all understand the type and shadow that Jesus was arrested and Jesus was crucified on the day of the Passover. And now many of us have access to have the enemy only come so far, but at the Passover, because of the blood is on our life. The blood has been covered upon us. And we take on that blood. Hear me right now. The Bible tells us we take on that blood through the burial. Repentance is your death, when you die to your will, you die to your flesh, you die to your own desires. And then the Bible says you are buried with him in baptism. And so we believe you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as a type and shadow of you allowing the blood of Jesus to be applied over your life. The Passover cannot be on your life until you are washed and covered by the blood, the same blood that was typified in the Old Testament. Saying, and I can imagine every firstborn son during that time, Daddy, did you? Are you sure you put the blood over the house? I hear crying away down. Daddy, did you cover the house with blood? And so when they came out of Egypt, it signified them coming out of sin, a type of sin. And when he crossed them over the Red Sea signified the baptism. And when they crossed over to the other side, it signified that sin is now behind you. Egypt is now behind you. But I want you to do something. I want you to cause a major feast called the Feast of Harvest, or what was termed by the Jewish people, Shavuot. All males were required to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. Pentecost was a holiday. No work was to be done. School was out, children.
Shops were closed, workers, because it signified, hear me, a time of rest. Is there anybody here that's just tired? Tired of fighting, tired of warring, tired of engaging sometimes, and the Lord says, that's all right. I'm going to allow a significant holiday to take place to renew inside of you something I always had in mind. And so don't do any work. Don't do any laborious work. It's a time to celebrate the harvest. On Pentecost, the high priest was to take two loaves of freshly baked bread and offer them before the Lord. The bread was made from newly harvested wheat. And what did Jesus say? He says, I am the bread of life. And so before Pentecost ever could come, there had to be a harvest. But before there's ever a harvest, there had to be some seed that is planted and watered. There has to be some things plowed up a little bit to break up the fallow ground, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to plow up the ground right now in the hearts of people, because the harvest cannot come until you break up your pride and break up your selfishness and break up your own desires and say, Lord, I gotta prepare my heart, I gotta prepare my field for what you are about to pour out. God forbid God pour something out and I did not prepare myself for it. So when scripture says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, Pentecost has been happening for a multitude of years. There was the harvest, there was the rituals, there was the feast, that was all that. But it was only in preparation for what I was really, really planning on doing. And so what a perfect time, because as the Jews were scattered all across the then known world, they all would make their way back, because it's now time to celebrate, praise God, the Shavuot. It's time to present ourselves before God and have a celebration because of the harvest. It's Pentecost. It's 50 days since the Passover. And Jesus says this would be the perfect time for you all to go to Jerusalem and go wait for the promise on high. Did they know it would happen on the day of Pentecost? I doubt it, because you don't have to always know when. You just gotta be ready. Oh, are you hearing me? You don't have to understand everything, but your heart just has to be ready to receive what God wants to do. And so when they kept on praying and they kept on calling out, God, maybe the answer didn't come all the way yet, but they said there was a promise that I cannot stop praying. Can I tell somebody, don't you stop praying, for the promise is still on its way. Don't you stop seeking God and tearing, because all of a sudden the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, something happened. Can I tell somebody, get ready, get ready. Something's about to happen in your home. Something's about to be renewed and released. Something about to break through in the spiritual realm of God right now in the name of Jesus. And we understand that the winds begin to blow, and all of a sudden there was a sound, there was a phoné that came as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house. Everybody go get touched, everybody go get blessed, everybody go get filled, everybody go get anointed when God begins to move. And they begin to be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak with tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Come, tongues is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And God can fill any heart that's open. And when you allow that harvest to be planted in your spirit, there will be a funny that takes place. I heard it this way back in the day, so to speak. Fathers could not be there in the birthing room with the wives while they were bearing children. And so the way the father knew from the outside that the child was healthy and born is that they would smack the child and the child would begin to breathe and cry. And the fane or the sound of the child would make the father aware your son is alive. And so when God fills this room with his spirit, there will be a sound that comes out of you. Let it out and let your father hear. Y'all didn't hear me. Let your father hear. Let your father hear that you belong to him. Let your father hear that the rest that you needed is there. Let your father hear you're his. But the crowd was there, Jewish people, but they thought they were drunk. Peter had to stand up. Peter had to explain. He didn't say they weren't drunk. He says they're not drunk as you suppose. You think they're drunk on wine and out of their mind. Oh, they're still drunk, but they're drunk on something better. And not only are they drunk on something better, you all have read the scripture. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, the prophet that you knew of. He says that there is going to be a restoration process. Because I don't think I'm speaking to an entire crowd of brand new believers. The majority of this crowd are believers. So in that crowd is, of course, new believers that have not yet experienced it. But there are also some that are broken, that are weary, that are tired. And when Joel was speaking in prophetic terms, maybe not even understanding everything, he says, yes, his spirit is going to be poured out, but don't miss what else the spirit is going to do. Because Pentecostals sometimes think that the Holy Ghost is just there for the first time I received it, maybe in water, maybe in the altar, and I say, okay, I got it. And pastor gives a little certificate, and we all shout and dance. And I got the Holy Ghost, and wow, that's all. And sometimes as a pastor, it's his fault to make you think that it's a one-time thing that you say, I'm saved, and then that's it. No, 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 no. The Holy Ghost is not just for new converts to be saved. When Peter began to preach, he says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the pommel worm, my great army which I sent among you. Because there right now, there are Pentecostal people in here, but you don't feel like anything except that you've been robbed. Yeah, I know. I'm only talking about three of y'all. So, you know, the rest of you guys just bear with us. As we deal with the two or three that this word applies to. Just be patient with us. And there are some of you that you are actually very cold towards God. Not because you don't believe in him, but on the contrary, you do believe in him and you feel like you've been gypped. You feel like you got the short end of the stick and you got I thought, but yet all the things have been stolen from me. My home, my family, my joy, it seems like it's not there anymore. When all the while, God, I pray, is stirring somebody's heart to say, see, you've lacked on what I sent my spirit for. Because when you begin to operate in the Holy Ghost, you'll find that some things that you lost are about to be restored. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you are going to praise the name of the Lord your God. And not because of a sign out front, but because you tasted and see the Lord is good. When you made up in your mind, I'm going to receive what God planned for me all along, I'm going to stop sucking my thumb and making excuses for what I'm dealing with, and I'm going to say, Lord, let your spirit fall on me. And when God's spirit truly begins to move on you, you will not be able to do anything else but say, I'm restored, I'm healed, I'm renewed, and I'm set free. This is what the word says. You will know. I can tell you guys all day long what I believe about you. I can tell you all day long the potential I see inside of you. And I will continue to do so. I will tell you all day long how much I believe in you, how I know you got the goods in you, and how God has great things for you. And it's all well and good coming from me. I won't stop encouraging you, but there has to come to a place and say, Pastor, if you never give me one more good report, I'm coming to a place that I believe for myself. I am an empowering preacher. I don't know how long we're all going to be here. I don't know what God's will is. My job is to, when you go home and you don't hear my voice right now, you still have your victory on a Thursday afternoon. That's my job. When no one's encouraging you, when no one is shouting, you can say, I know him for myself. And I found out when his spirit came over me, it gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And devil, everything you stole, I feel restoration happen. Devil, everything you took, I'm getting it all back, because the Holy Ghost is moving. The power is stirring. It's building up my most holy faith. You will know that I'm in your midst. Some of you need your own testimony that God is with you. Well, that's why you're going through your test. Because God's about to give you your testimony. You're crying about why you're going through it. And God is saying, I'm about to show myself in the middle of that. I'm going to fill you with my spirit that gives you that strength you never had. And it says, I'm the God, your God, and none else. And you will never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your daughters, and sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Women of God, get your mouths ready. See, I don't believe what I'm saying. You think I'm joking this time. Somebody's going to get it. And it might not be who you think. And you're going to start prophesying. You're going to start speaking life over people. You're not going to need me to say, go talk to somebody. You go get the unction of the Holy Ghost by yourself. And you go knock on somebody's door. And you go write a letter. You're going to pick up the phone call. And you go say, thus saith the Lord. Get up out of your mess in the name of Jesus. There are some prophetess in the house of God right now. There's some sons right now in this house that God wants to speak through you. Open up your mouth and get ready for the supernatural to take place. That's what Pentecostal really is. It's operating by the Spirit. It ain't a song. It ain't a dance. It's a thus saith the Lord. And I come to you with apostolic authority and say, in this house there is going to be deliverance. I come to you. I wish somebody would agree with me right now. In this house there is going to be captives that will be set free in this house. The broken shall be made whole. The wounded and the broken and the downcast, get ready for your victory. I prophesy because I got the Holy Ghost. I prophesy because I speak it because I'm not speaking in tongues. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the power. I got the Spirit of God living in me. So I speak the word. Let the rhema word get a hold of somebody. Your marriage is about to heal. Your health is about. I'm going to raise your hand right now. I speak healing over you in the mighty name of Jesus. I bind every demonic spirit that will try to cast a shadow over the men and women of God. I bind fear. I bind depression. I bind worry. I say victory shall be ours because we have the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, go wait until you're endued from on high with power, and you shall be witnesses. I don't mean to be rude. I don't mean to be brash. But I think you guys know my personality by now. When I'm mad at the devil, I'm mad. I'm mad, and I'm mad. How can he tell us that you shall have power? How can he tell us that you're going to be witnesses when my Holy Ghost will come upon you? And 90% of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost are the weakest people I know. How can he spend all that time orchestrating all that he did in the Old Testament. And God robed himself in flesh and came down and suffered, bled and died for my sins. And while his disciples said, where are you going? He says, I have to go. I have to go because I'm going to send a comforter. And then the comforter did all that work to get here. And we live depressed. Shame on us. Shame on us that he went through all that. Shame on us that he was broken, his body died like that, and beaten like that, and was spit upon that, and was disrespected like that, and then was resurrected and gave the apostles power. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. All that was prophesied about Pentecost is coming your way. And then we get here, and we all act like we have no power. What is the Spirit for if it ain't working in my life? What is the Spirit for? You want to know what it is? We think it's speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues with no power, because tongues is not the Holy Ghost. How do you dissect it? I'm not trying to get too deep. Well, how do you dissect it? Speaking in tongues? No. It's one thing in having something and then utilizing it correctly. I had a tool in my hand, but I'm not using it correctly. Is that understandable? Many of us, we have the power in our hands, but we're not utilizing it correctly. Church is not just supposed to be for me to encourage you for an hour and a half. Church is not here for us to make you feel good for an hour and a half. Coming to church, I've been saying, I'm going to keep on saying it, is about the glory of God getting in you. And if you leave without the glory, you are wasting your time. Because when you for yourself saying, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm coming for the glory. Then when I'm by myself on Tuesday, I'm going to be all right. Yes. And I'm going to grab a hold of words like when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he does. Yes. I got the glory on Sunday, Sister Kylene. Yes. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will, that's all right. The Lord is going to live up a standard against him. And you know who that standard is? So you think it's somebody else. You know who that standard is? You. God says, I'm in you. So all you got to do is stand up in the face of that adversity and say, I shall not be moved. And the anointing that's inside of you, the devil says something has not happened the way it used to happen. When I came in, they cry, complain, and whine, and worry. But all of a sudden, they're saying, devil, get thee behind me. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. Closing with this, Ezekiel, come on, man, come over here to some, come on up here, Ezekiel. Ezekiel was an old man. And Ezekiel been watching the church for a long time. Long time. Ezekiel was here a long, long time ago. Yeah. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Can they change their mentality?
Good book says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. We know we've been hearing it every service, but it says without works, faith is dead. We're not seeing the works. like we should see, because we say we got faith. We say we put our trust in God. But how many of us, including me, we have a headache or a fever, the first thing we do is run to a pill bottle or to the doctor. That's not faith. That's not trust. You know, God says, you know, if we bit by anything or a poisonous snake, shake it off. I'm sure most of us would shake it off, but then we couldn't wait to get to the doctor.
Right.
Come on.
Where's our faith? Where's our trust?
Yes.
When we start having trust and faith like we should have, this place would be filled up with people with crutches.
Come on.
Blind people.
Come on.
Dumb people.
He's speaking it.
All of that.
Speak it. In Jesus' name.
That's what we're going to have to do. I'm including myself, too. I'm bad at doing the same thing, you know. Get a little headache. I try to say, Lord, you know, take care of this. And if he don't do it right away, we want to run to the pill bottle. We want to run to the doctor. Amen. First thing, we got to get away from that and say, God, give us, open our ears so we can hear what the word is saying to us.
Yes.
And then we'll be able to see people's eyes open. And people will.
He just prophesied. Yep. He just prophesied. Can these bones live? God, you know. Come on, God, you know the bones can live. The bones can live. Come on, get connected. And as you get connected, the breath of God are going to breathe into some bodies. And by faith, we're going to see an explosion. Why don't you stand on your feet right now and raise your hands and say, Lord, give me the faith I need. Give me the power I need. Let me operate on the true power of the Holy Ghost. Let me be loose to praise and to worship and get through my glorious breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to do, because I want this to be a place that's filled up. At this point, the only thing we can do is apply the word and declare what thus saith the Lord, and say amen to the word. In fact, have a seat. Please. Jesus. Jesus was speaking, about to go to the cross. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, the first word, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. One thing I got to be honest about, sometimes preachers' mistakes, is that we think we can force people to do stuff. Jesus never forced anybody to do anything. So I can't force you at this point. But if you thirst, then he says, you can come and you can drink. And then he that believeth on me, not just anyway, because too many preachers say, just believe on him. No. It says, believe on me as the scripture has said. So there's a scriptural belief and there's a natural belief. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John is specific about what he said. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. What's about to happen in this place is, if you need the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost where they were sitting. What's going to happen as well is, if you have the Holy Ghost, but yet you have not been operating in the Holy Ghost, then Joel said there's going to be some things that are going to be restored back to you that you've lost: the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the locusts were stolen from you. But bottom line, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, because there were men and women that were hungry for God's presence. So to keep this authentic and as genuine as possible, not hype, not Pentecostal, then you all by yourself have to hunger and thirst for God and allow him to do what you need him to do in your life. And where they were sitting down. So I'm allowing you to sit down. I'm allowing you to make your own decision on what you're going to do concerning the one that wants to fill you up. Go ahead and play Devin nice and loud. And you just take this time wherever you are. If this is your opportunity to touch him, this is your opportunity to allow his glory to fill your life. This is your opportunity for the glory of God to overshadow you and for the palm of worm to let go and release, for the locust to let go and release everything that you felt like you've lost. This is your time to get renewed and restored to the power of God. It's your time for out of your belly rivers of water to flow out of your life. It's your time to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so if you feel like raising your hand, this is your moment. This is your altar call. This is your opportunity. If any man thirsts, let him come. So you thirst after God right now.